Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, everybody. It is Trags Mike Petralia back with the latest episode of the Jungle World podcast powered by CLNS Media and our friends at Prize Picks, North America's largest daily fantasy sports platform. My pleasure to introduce and welcome to the podcast one of the definite experts of NFL draft preview. That would be Dane Brugler of The Athletic. He does an amazing job putting together what is appropriately called The Beast. It is 324 pages of NFL draft prospectus on pretty much every player in the NFL draft. Dane, I want to get right to it. How did you come up with this idea of putting together so much data on every single college prospect?
At my core, I'm an NFL draft fan, and so I wanted to put together a draft guide that I would want, I would buy, and I would want to read and consume. And so, you know, first one I ever did was my freshman year dorm room back at Mount Union, and back in the day. And then obviously it's grown over the years, it's evolved over the years, and become something that at some point along the way picked up the name The Beast. I don't even remember who started calling it that. I pushed back at first, but it just kept, you know, fans really enjoyed it and the readers really enjoyed it. So I decided to embrace it and say, you know what, it's motivation. If we're going to call something The Beast, it better live up to it. So, and that's the motivation every year, is to put together something that is unlike other draft previews, because no other draft preview has NFL verified testing information for almost 2,000 players. There's 400 reports with a lot of good background information. That's a key in terms of understanding where these guys have come from, what they've had to overcome over the years, just, you know, their story, trying to shine a light on all the people that have helped them get to this point. So it's a lot of differing perspectives on these players, a lot of puzzle pieces that you try to combine and give you a better, a more clear picture of who each one of these players is.
Yeah, and I want to get an idea from you. How much work do you put in throughout the year, both during the season and off season, putting this together? Because in reading 324 pages, it's not just a list of players. People watching this or listening to this on the Jungle War Pod, they may think, well, everybody does a draft preview, right, of the top prospects, the big board, so to speak, that pretty much everybody has. That's not what this is. This goes in depth. Tells maybe one off the field story of every single prospect, or practically every single prospect. The amount of data in this is voluminous, doesn't do it justice. So I'm wondering, from your perspective, how much time throughout the 365 days a year do you put in on this?
Each book takes about 18 months. Because even like right now, the past few months, I'm not worried about the 2025 draft yet, but you can't help but pick up little nuggets when you're talking to coaches, talking to scouts, talking to players. Inevitably, something comes up about a player next year, or, you know, who's the toughest player you went up against? Who's the toughest pass rusher you went up against? And they bring up someone that is for next year. So really, realistically, it's something that takes 18 months to put together. Usually the month of May, I try to take a step back. I coach my son's baseball team, my daughter's softball team, and try to just take a deep breath. But then June 1st, right back into it. And the summer is one of the most important times. That's where you get that base of each one of these players. You build the database, and then the season obviously happens. That's where rankings change, analysis right. change. Then the All-Star Games, Combine, Pro Day. So it is a long process. But when I get to release it and everybody enjoys it so much, it makes it all worth it.
All right, let's get to some of the players because this is a Bengals centric podcast, and a lot of Bengal fans want to know who are the best defensive tackles out there and who are the best right tackles, offensive tackles, because those are essentially, I think the consensus, Dane, is that those are the two areas that the Bengals go into this draft looking to fill holes, but not only just fill holes at top value spots. So when you take a look at, let's say, defensive tackle, there's Byron Murphy the second, then there's Johnny Newton out of Illinois. What is there after that? Is it very deep?
I actually do like the depth on day two, the defensive tackles. Now, there is a little bit of a drop-off. There's a reason we're talking about these guys as day two picks and not day one picks. Mm-hmm. But I do like the variety of talents that are going to be available on day two. And some of the guys that I think are worth the risk, or worth the investment at that point. So, Chris Jenkins from Michigan, Mike Hall from Ohio State. Mike Hall from Ohio State has the fewest number of snaps I can remember a defensive tackle having, but he still has a chance to be a top 50, top 60 pick because he's so disruptive when he's on the field. Also very young. He's just 20 years old. You think about what he can be after a year and 2 years of NFL coaching. So that's exciting. A guy like Mason Smith from LSU. The NFL wants 6'5", 300 pounds on their defensive line. And those types are in short supply this year, but a Mason Smith has that, and that's going to help propel his value. Braden Fisk from Florida State, his nonstop motor, his athleticism really stands out, even if he is short-armed and not really going to be for everybody. Brandon Dorlus from Oregon, Ruka Rohoroho from Clemson. So this defensive tackle class, even though it might be lacking in true star power at the top, even though I love Byron Murphy the second, I think he'd be a home run pick at 18 for the Bengals. I do think that on day two, there's some quality depth. Now, if they're looking for a nose tackle, that's where it's hard to get excited about the nose tackles this year. But just quality defensive line depth, there are plenty of options, I think, that the Bengals would be interested in.
Hey, everybody. It's Drags, Mike Petralia, host of the Jungle Roar and Code Reds podcast on CLNS Media Networks. I want to tell you about Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app with more than 3 million members. It's the easiest and definitely most exciting way to get in on all the action while you watch your favorite sports and players. How does it work? Well, you just pick more or less on two or more player stats and watch the winnings roll in. March may be over, but the biggest moments in college basketball tip off in the month of April. Be part of the action on Prize Picks for both men's and women's college basketball. Also, don't forget to get in on the playoff action and win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks as you and the world's best players take the game to a new level during basketball's postseason. This week, I took Stephen Curry for more than 29 points and Nikola Jokic for more than 10 rebounds. Download the app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, use the code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. You know, and when you talk, Dane, about defensive line in the Bengals last year, even before DJ Reader got injured, they had trouble stopping the run. And that is the bugaboo that really hurt them in the AFC North, where everybody loves to run the ball or could run the ball. Certainly when they went up against the Bengals, they identified that as a weakness. Bengal fans want to know, are there players in this draft, first day, second day, who could help them address the run game? They've obviously already addressed part of it in free agency with Sheldon Rankins, but he is more a three technique guy. Right. Mm-hmm. And he's more of a three technique player. Are there players that run stoppers who could maybe step in right away first year and help the Bengals?
I think Byron Murphy can be that guy. And a reason why, you're so optimistic about him is you can watch the film and see him work over the A gap, work as a nose, as a shaded nose, a one technique, and hold his own. He doesn't really have the traditional body type you're looking for. He's 6'6" and a half, right around 300 pounds, doesn't have super long arms, but he understands how to use his leverage very well. And, you know, he can, you know, it's not just quickness, but it's the violent hands. It's how skillful he is with his hands. And he uses his size to his advantage. And this is both getting after the quarterback, but then also defending the run. He is very, very skilled in both areas. And so I you like the traits. You like what he put on film. He was productive. To me, all signs point to this guy being a really solid pro as a rookie and then growing from there. And that's why if he's at 18, I think he would be a tough guy to pass up on the Bengals.
Joe Alt, moving to the offensive line, will not be there for the Cincinnati Bengals at 18. I think safe saying.
Fair to say, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. Olu Fashanu, he might be. We'll go over some other names here. Bengals obviously like themselves some big school championship game caliber offensive linemen. They did with Jonah Williams, J.C. Latham out of Alabama could be another. Then we take a look at the offensive tackle out of Oregon State, Talese Fuaga. Mm-hmm. Of those three, who could be on the board? Who do you like the most?
Out of those three, now I like probably Fashanu the most out of those three, but he was a left tackle only at Penn State. And so there's maybe a, if you're looking for more of the right tackle, it's a little bit of a projection with Olu. Now, J.C. Latham was only a right tackle at Alabama. And so, and same thing with Talese Fuaga. They were both right tackles. So how much would that play into the decision-making by the Bengals? And I think it also depends on the type of player you're looking for. I think with J.C. Latham, J.C. Latham's probably the strongest player in the draft. I mean, he is so powerful. Once he gets his hands on you, forget it. It's over. But does he have enough range for what the Bengals want outside?
Right.
How do they view him as a guard, as someone that could help them? They're drafting him to be the right tackle, but can you help at guard as well as a rookie if you need that depth right away? So I think, you know, these questions are going to be the probably the differentiating factors for a team like the Bengals that are in the offensive line market. And this is an offensive line class where it's strong up top. It is top heavy. And so how many offensive linemen are going to be off the board? Honestly, that's one of the biggest questions I'm going to have when you look at 18, because there's a good chance the four tackles we just mentioned, and even throw Troy Faatanu from Washington, throw him in the mix as well. So those five guys, there's a good chance all five could be off the board by the time we get to 18. And if that's the case, how do they feel about Amarius Mims? How do they feel about Tyler Guyton? Both these guys are immensely talented, but there's also, you know, there's development needed. Amarius Mims, 8 career starts. You know, there you worry about him just staying on the field, but he's so gifted, so naturally talented that I would certainly understand if they come to the conclusion that he's worth the risk at pick number 18, especially with your left tackle and right tackle in place. You don't need someone that's going to step in from day one, but still, if you need someone to play at some point as a rookie, you want to be feel confident in your first round pick to do that. So do they feel that way about Amarius Mims or Tyler Guyton? That's kind of the unknown at this point, because every team feels a little bit differently about these guys, and yeah, the Bengals included.
When you talk to players, when you talk to coaches, NFL executives, what do they tell you about the way they value the way somebody is going to fit in? Because to me, and we've gotten this, you know, we're recording this on Monday, and Jack Taylor spoke to us this morning at Paycor Stadium, and he said, yeah, part of it is the talent. There's no question about that. But part of it is how they fit into our system. Do you think more and more GMs are trying to project that in your conversations with them?
Well, obviously, you know, they're not going to give away too much, but in terms of specific players, but there's no question that how a player fits schematically, and not just X's and O's wise, but their, you know, the culture of the locker room, and right. You know, how does the personality fit? That's a big part of this, because if a player is just not a fit in the locker room, it's not going to work out. You have to think of every locker room as its own ecosystem, and you have to bring in the players that are going to be good for the locker room, but also good for the community. And you know, that's something that you look back at a lot of the misses teams have had in the past. a lot of it has been maybe a miss something with the personality or the person more so than just the player. So we can throw on the tape and see the talent of these guys, but it really takes a lot of investigating to just figure out the person. What makes them tick? You know, what's the wiring? And that's why these 30 visits are so important. You can bring an Amarius Mims to the building and see how does he interact with everybody in the building, everybody that he sees. You get to know the person a little bit better than just, you know, the few minutes you have him at the combine or a little bit of an interview after the Senior Bowl or what the area scouts have done on the road. This is a chance to really dive deeper into the person, maybe answer some questions that you had. So these 30 visits are, a lot of times it's more of a process of elimination. You know, a lot of guys go to 30 visits and the team crosses their name off the list as soon as they leave. Just wasn't a fit. But a lot of times we can make those connections where the 30 visits matches up because they really feel strongly about the player and they were able to ace that interview test once they got to the facility.
We have to wrap it up here with Dane Brugler, author of the quintessential NFL Draft Bible. That would be The Beast. It's available on The Athletic for subscribers. Look, I don't think it's overstating it. If you subscribe to The Athletic for one thing, and yet that one thing is The Beast, it's worthwhile. We wrap it up here. Bengal fans have always been offensive driven, and there are two wide receivers that could be in the mix here, or at least one that stands out to me, and he's from LSU, and that would be Brian Thomas Jr. Mm-hmm. Brock Bowers probably won't be from Georgia, the tight end, but when you take a look at those two players, could they be fits for the Bengals?
Brock Bowers would be a no-brainer, in my opinion. The goal of your first-round pick is to come away with a difference maker. Brock mm-hmm. Bowers qualifies, and I get it. If you focus on the fact that a lot of tight ends drafted early haven't panned out, then you're going to probably be pessimistic about the pick. But when you focus on the talent, the traits, and the biggest thing is trusting your offensive coordinator to understand how to best use a talent like that. If you focus on that, then look, it's a home run, especially with a team like the Bengals when Brock Bowers, he's not just a tight end. He's a slot receiver. He's, he can be an outside receiver if you want him to. He can line up in the backfield. You can do so many things with a player like this that helps everybody on offense because it's someone that the defense has to account for in a lot of different roles. So the versatility that he offers, I agree with you, though. I have a hard time seeing him fall all the way to 18. I think the Jets at 10, Broncos at 12, the Colts at 15. I'd be surprised if he got past those three spots. But if he did, he shouldn't get past 18, put it that way. Brian Thomas, he might not make it to 18 either. He is a really talented receiver, 6'3", 210, with awesome speed, can win deep. And he's a little inexperienced as a route runner just because they asked him to run an abbreviated route tree at LSU, but he has the talent to be much more than just what we saw on film. And so I think he's inexperienced, but not raw. And for a team looking for a true X receiver, but also someone that can line up across the formation, Brian Thomas is going to be awfully appealing. And as long as the medicals check out, I think it's not, he's going to be off the board pretty quickly.
He is Dane Brugler of The Athletic. Be sure to subscribe to The Athletic if you want the quintessential NFL Draft Bible for the 2024 draft. It's coming up in Detroit. The Bengals will be selecting 18th overall. The Bengals have 10 draft picks this draft. That also could factor in what they do in the first couple of rounds of the draft. Dane, thanks so much for taking time out of your very busy schedule.
Anytime. Thanks, Mike.
All right. He's Dane Brugler. I'm Mike Petralia Trags. Thanks for watching and downloading this episode of the Jungle War podcast, powered by CLNS Media and Prize Picks, North America's largest daily fantasy sports platform.